It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the cinemas and on DVD. Get ready for...
Wait for it!
Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Soze!
No, that's Matthew Soze.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever. Yeah.
Let's find out how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Soze.
We are Sex Bomb. We are here to make money and sell out and stuff.
One, two, three, four.
Kim.
We are Sex Bomb, and we are here to watch Scott Pilgrim kick your teeth in. One, two, three, four.
Especially Matthew Soze, I'm going to be putting down my Xbox and my energy drinks to review a mature movie.
As you can tell, I am not Matthew Soze. This is Gina Wagner, and I'm taking over Film Sociology this week. Yay! Also with me is Chris Lloyd from the Film Yap. Yay! Okay, I'm glad you chimed in on that with me. Okay, so we are here at Film Sociology today. If you have any questions, concerns, complaints, I guess you can send them to msoce at wfyi.org. But the complaints will be forwarded directly to a trash folder.
Womp womp.
Film Sociology is a podcast on iTunes, and it has a blog. Where's the blog?
Filmsociology.tumblr.com.
Nice.
Yep.
Okay, so before we get into anything today, I'm going to be plugging. There's a roller derby bout in Indianapolis tomorrow. The Circle City Derby Girls. It's called L on Wheels. It's $15 at the door to get in. It's a doubleheader. First bout's at 6 p.m. and the second one's at 7:45. First bout is the Party Crashers versus Dire Skates from Richmond, Indiana. And the second one is the Socialites.
Dire Skates?
Yes, I know. Wow. They're actually really awesome. They've been at a lot of our events. And then the second one is the Socialites versus the Des Moines Derby Dames from Iowa.
Wow.
And they have some really good skaters. One of them's like one of the best speed skaters in the world.
Really?
Yeah. So we should come see that. And I'm playing in the first bout.
Yeah.
Yay. So that's going to be awesome.
You got anything over there, Chris? No.
Okay. Well, I'll just very quickly plug my own sites. Hauntedflower.com, the best place to buy licensed t-shirts online.
That's true.
HauntedFlowerReviews.com, where you can find all my reviews, and IndieMojo.com, where you can find out about movie screenings in Indianapolis. Where's another place you can find out about movie screenings in Indianapolis, Chris?
Why, www.thefilmyap.com, where you can also see our views and reviews about movies, videos, and anything else movie-related.
That is awesome. Okay, before we get into this week's movies, we want you to know that at Keystone Art Cinema this week, Friday night and Saturday night at midnight, they're playing The Room,
yes,
which Matt and Kobe always talk about,
yes,
which I haven't seen yet.
You should go tonight or tomorrow. I've already
That's
got
what
my
I hear.
Tickets.
Oh, you do?
I got my tickets like last week.
What if they sell out?
That's why I got them.
Oh, okay. Everyone get on that if you want to go see The Room.
Yes.
Because otherwise you might
you
be screwed
too.
Like me.
It is the most fun you will have at a movie. Period.
And what do you do with this movie? I hear
it's,
you throw sporks. Is that what you do?
Oh yeah, it's a lot of crowd participation. If you've been to a screening, you'll be keen to the sound. There's plastic spoon throwing at the screen.
Awesome.
Shouting things out. There's certain things that everybody knows to say at certain points in the movies, but then it's also a lot of like, improv.
But newcomers won't feel left out, right?
No.
Sweet.
They'll catch on.
We'll be welcomed with open arms,
yes,
and spoons.
Yes, you'll catch on to what's going on the first 10 minutes, and you'll be in it.
Does everybody have a really good Tommy impression?
Oh, See, I
varying
well,
levels
yeah.
of
there'll be,
achievement.
There'll be a couple people in costumes. Like I've gone to, I've been to two screenings. Actually, both at IU now. Matt and I went to one in February, and there was.
Aw, that sounds like a sweet date.
Yeah, it was. People thought he was my dad. Anyway.
Aww.
and then we actually we ran into that the following Friday at the brewery where somebody thought he was my dad.
Well, you've got that whole like mentor-mentee relationship going on with what is Kobe watching. Yeah, the curly hair does help.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we have an interview to play.
Yes.
Tommy Wiseau.
Tommy Wiseau.
Talking to Matthew Soucy. So even though Matthew Soucy isn't here, we are thinking of you as we listen to your voice.
Matt's in Chicago.
Yes, he's in Chicago doing important things.
Mm-hmm.
I assume they're important if he's not here.
Here we are. Matt's interview with Tommy Wiseau.
Joining me on Film Sociology is auteur, because you are a man of many skills, Tommy Wiseau. How are you, Tommy?
Hi, how you doing, Miles? To you?
Doing great. Now, this is going to be your second appearance, if I remember correctly, at IU for The Room. How was it the last time you were in town?
Oh, we have such a groovy time that they decided to invite us again, and I'm thrilled. And first of all, I'd like to say thank you to all the fans there, and hopefully we'll have a groovy time, and everybody's invited.
Well, we will be there as best we can.
Sure.
So, how did you get interested in cinema?
Well, that was a long time ago, believe it or not.
Are you okay?
I am okay. My phone is ringing right now. I apologize.
Okay. That's okay. I thought it was a submarine for just a minute.
No problem. You have a great sense of humor. I like that.
Thank you.
To respond to your question, you know, I used to want to sing, believe it or not, and some people actually, I can sing, but never mind about that. Film has always been was in my heart, you know, it was in the sense and always would be, you know, because image, you know, people remember, et cetera. Through all these years, I studied psychology, and this relates to, you know, to how you can connect to people. It's a lot of stuff. We probably don't have the time, but just to briefly to tell you that my first movie actually was The Robbery Doesn't Pay. It's just a short movie I did for class, and I can tell you one thing. I got that A-. You know why it's minus?
Why is that?
Because I use a black and white and colors, and a lot of people ask me, why you use this colors? Like, why is not only one color? And I said, you know what? The reason for it is because of the, you know, I wanted people to provoke people. And you see, The Room, it's the same thing. If you really translate my vision a long time ago about movies, what I see now. And again, I have a great respect for, this is just a little off from your question, but for everyone who produced the movie, because, you know, it is what it is. It's very difficult art. You make a big effort, and it's, I always say, you have to be detail-oriented to accomplish something. And as you probably guys know, that some people already know, it's a lot misleading about The Room, about production, etc. online, and hopefully people are in a few days that will ask me direct questions if they will attend the screening. So move on, next question.
Okay, well, I would say to jump on what you said, yeah, regardless of what people think about whether something is good or something is bad, making a movie is really damn hard. And
It is.
The fact that you know, not only wrote and directed and acted, especially in the case with The Room, I mean, it is a task to organize and get everything that, not only from a technical aspect of getting everything that you need, you know, but making sure everything is smooth on the set. How are you on the set when it comes to a director? What kind of atmosphere do you have?
I love a set, you know, but if you're, you know, I always say the set is my house, actually, the theater. I mean, if you refer to The Room, supposed to be a play. I don't know if you know that. I don't want to repeat myself because it'll be boring, but just really very quickly background of The Room. Supposed to be played first, and then I decided to, you know, write a script, etc., because of my 600 pages novel, which hopefully somebody want to publish right now, but we're working on it.
It's a 600-page novel this is based on?
Correct.
Wow.
And that was, keep in mind, again, since I'm talking to you, like I said, we don't have too much time, but very quickly, see, people don't realize this nothing happened by accident. You know, like people say, oh, this accident, that accident. For example, I'm talking as a director right now, I can create a certain ambience and I can anticipate something, but I have to plan. Without planning, you don't have it. And I don't care what you, if you, for example, doesn't lead me to, again, to your first question about production. You know, if, I don't care if you do 5 minutes movie or feature movie. Guess what? Irony of a story is, for all of you guys to listen now, right now, that is the same thing. The difference is you spend more money or you make it. You know, you involve more people, but you need the beginning, you need the middle, you need the end. I rest my case. But The Room is based on a 600 novel, over actually 600. So people will be surprised. And I noticed, I don't know, Matthew, if you noticed in the past few years, people actually grasp what was creating. And again, I'm thrilled to say that I'm happy with the fans and great support. And you know, sometimes we do have a bad apple, but you know what? I just accept whatever people, you know, have comments about the film. And again, I don't always say you have to. Actually, my motto is that if a lot of people love each other, the world will be a better place to live. By this talk and from the room, you see, it doesn't matter that. You don't have to write like the room. And I want to stress that because a lot of people think that, oh, yeah, you have, no, you don't. You see, that's the difference between me as a director, as an actor, you as the audience as well, the listener, that you have choice. And that's what the room is. And I think maybe that's the reason. I didn't conclude 100%, Matthew, but I'll tell you one thing, that maybe that's the reason is that we have great support right now with people because they do see my vision and directly, you know. Mm-hmm. Either they'll, you know, sometimes people say, oh, I don't like this. Well, that's fine. It's nothing wrong. Same with me, you know. If I, for example, see some movie, which I don't even ask me for a name, I may drop a couple of names. Maybe.
Okay.
But if I see a movie, it doesn't mean that I have to like all of it. I may, you know, like just a segment of it, etc. Move on, next question.
Is the book published or will it be published?
No, right now, currently, actually, I'm working with one publisher, very big guy, actually, one of the biggest publisher company. I don't know what will happen. It's up to them, you know. Again, I'm not here to criticize. I'm not here to bashing anyone. That's not my motto, you know.
Okay. Yes.
I was beat up. You know, people beat me up many times. But true fans of the room, like in your school, you know, I'm like, I love you guys. Let me tell you this way, you know.
We're
ready, ready for pictures, and we'll have a groovy time. Move on, next question.
Where did the source for the inspiration for the room begin? Hopefully, it's not autobiographical.
Well, let me tell you, this is from life. You see, we all have, I don't know, you have opportunity to see several times the movie or not, but mm-hmm. The fact is that it's from life, relationships, you know, drugs issues. Just recently, I believe on CNN, I have an interview with Greg, and actually I say very publicly, I would say right now too, you know, between 12 and 2 in America, you have number of crime committed is very high. You may laugh with my statement, but guess what? I studied this,
mm-hmm.
and this is the statistically speaking. Okay, now mostly people see the room in America midnight, so I rest my case. You may say, well, maybe yes, maybe not, but I say to you, yes, it does eliminate indirectly crime. Besides this, as you probably know, and your young audience know about it, that we do not have. And I'm very strongly about it, and I think this is message maybe for, I'm not a politician yet, but this is message for mayors of the cities, you know, across the country. you guys give us, you give young people places to express themselves, parks, trees, play footballs, you know. We don't have these places anymore. I'm traveling, man, I'm traveling from north to south, from south to east, or whatever, name it. It's the same issue, the same problem, you know, and it's not right, you know, because I think young person, even older person, we all have certain tendency to express ourselves emotionally through playing football or just whatever you want to do, you know, and we don't have this kind of places, you know, mm-hmm. and that's why, you know, people are sometimes doing drastic things, and that's the gray area what I think people should realize about the room, and I am very strongly about it, and I'm surprised the big media does not pick up this, you know, because it's true. This is the story. And then move on, next question. So
no, it's all right.
I'm
it's
just
cool.
giving you a little speech here.
No, it's okay. Nobody wants to hear me talk. They want to hear you.
No, I want you to talk too. Just jump in any time.
Well,
tell me, it's enough now.
Well, say...
Okay, 10 more minutes. All right, move on, next question.
Were you jilted by a woman like this in the film?
Well, let me tell you, I've been in a relationship. I will not say I was not.
Okay.
Like, I will tell you very honestly, two is better than three, but three is crowd. However, you can have three friends.
Yes.
And I will tell you one thing, that there's nothing wrong when Johnny in the movie, you know, say to Danny, it's okay to love somebody else. But at the same time, it's process of learning how far you can go as a person. Mm-hmm. How far you can go, do you have to actually do something physically, or you just to say, look, I love you, man, or I love you to a girl or guy. It doesn't matter. You see, that's what the beauty in a relationship, that we understand and have respect, and how tempting it is. I've been in many situations, I don't know you guys, but we all been there, it's tempting to be very close to someone, you know, or... you have certain opportunity, but then you pay for it, you know, by breaking relationships or a relationship. I believe very strongly that we've all been there. If not, I say many times that the room is a red flag. Wait a minute, why should you do when you later on you will regret it? Mm-hmm. And I don't care how strong you are, how much money you have, that's irrelevant. You know, bottom line is, you know what? Feelings you cannot buy it, Matthew. And that's the irony in the room.
Well, I say you have people, you have now hundreds and thousands of people loving you with these screenings. You talk about a place for kids to go. When you have these screenings on campus and in theaters, you know, people have said that you single-handedly brought back the Midnight movie and the cult movie.
Right.
Well, not too much pressure, I hope.
No, I love Pavling, and I always will. The fans, that's priority for me, you know. So it's pressure, little pressure is there, but I like it.
And now, I know right after The Room, you did the documentary, you co-directed the documentary Homeless in America, is that right?
Correct, yes.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about that? Because I know a lot of people know The Room, but you have done other things since.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, the homeless in America is totally different topic, as you probably know about it since you asked, is dealing with the homelessness in America. And again, you see, long story short, you cannot eliminate homelessness. And now, in since you mentioned this topic, it is what it is, as you know, in America, because of the economy. Actually, I'm working on a new movie about related to economy, and relate also to indirectly to homelessness. So again, this is the gray area, what people don't realize. And again, you see, some people say, oh, you know what, we can eliminate homelessness. Well, I have not for you all your expert, you know, from politician to media. No, you cannot eliminate homelessness. If you look at a long time ago, let's say 200, 300 years ago, not this country, but other countries, you already have a homeless indirectly. But it was not recognized the way we recognize. But the good news is that if we learn about it, we will not have in America, which is, you know what, Matthew, it's really hurt my feelings that I see this people actually, you know, lay down on the street in America, underneath the bridges. You know, it's sad. It mm-hmm. is very eerie situation. But the good news is that we have a lot of dedicated people, and I wish, you know, I don't wish, but I probably do another documentary. Like, I want to expose all the people actually doing good things for homelessness, people who never been recognized for their hard work without, you know, to help these people, because it is what it is. Mm-hmm. And again, you see, I'm across America, I see this, you know, I just come back from Houston, the same thing. Well, you know, people say, oh, we don't have a homeless. Well, I'm sorry, you do have, you know. Mm-hmm. But the good news, again, is that we can eliminate, we can help these people. And that's what I come from, you know. Homeless was, did this movie just to find out the truth, not because somebody told me. And what I discovered was pretty eerie, if you ask me. But the good news is we can improve with optimism and good spirit in America. Move on, next question.
What's the status on The House That Drips Blood on Alex?
Well, first of all, I was hired as an actor. Let me stress
right.
that. As well as only as an actor. Okay, I did not direct. They direct. That was Comedy Central. They aired it on TV and they put online. And, you know, they supposed to do second episode, I don't know, was pretty excited project, was paid job, of course.
Yes.
And, you know, it was good experience. They could do better, but, you see, it's not me to judge. You know, some mm-hmm. people like it, some people don't.
Well, I think what's been great is that you've been able to go from, you know, you did and I mean this as a compliment.
No problem.
I think the term melodrama gets a bad connotation, and so to go from a melodrama to documentary to horror, I mean, and just even you know, you're just acting in that, you're able to go from one genre to another.
Well, I think that's a compliment. If you ask me, you don't have to apologize, but you see, I don't call it, and again, this is your statement, melodrama. You may argue that The Room partially is melodrama based on the talking, if you analyze Johnny's character. Mm-hmm. I agree, you got me on that one. But at the same time, the reason we call black comedy, again, people don't realize black comedy leading towards melodrama.
Right.
Melodrama, as you probably know, defined melodrama is based... It's more than normal.
Mm-hmm.
So you much more dramatic approach. But irony of a story, again, I will say very openly that I have some friends that they are really melodramatic, if you ask me.
We all do, Tommy.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Again, this is based on my research, okay? Mm-hmm. And I will say, you know, that hopefully we have more discussion like that about with the fans as well, with you guys, with media, because Matthew, you're part of the media one way or the other.
Yep.
And then, you know, actually, I'd like to have a program, you know, if you guys can organize it while there, we can have big discussion, you know. So it's up to you guys. But anyway, move on. Next question.
I say, you talk about dark comedies, black comedies. What are some of your favorites?
What do you mean?
Are there other dark comedies like Dr. Strangelove or Harold and Maude that inspired you?
Well, you see, again, I inspire myself, but however, yeah, good point. I like, for example, if you look at not so much comedy or, you know, to me, comedy, let's put it this way, comedy, drama, melodrama, black comedy, whatever you define, I define as the colors. Colors means the more colors you have within your project, in this case, The Room or other movies, either include the homeless in America, as you mentioned, you will not just to provoke people, but it will be interesting to see your project or movie, whatever you call it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, some people say, oh, this is short, this is long, whatever. But the colors for me is very important. Now, to respond to your question, I influence myself. However, I'm fan of, for example, Cleopatra with Elizabeth Taylor.
Yes.
Because, again, this is the manipulation of woman aspect in life if you compare it to Juliet in The Room. Now, Orson Welles, for example, Citizen Kane, Giants with James Dean and others. Why these people we watching, by my research, a lot of people watching from time to time, what is the reason? What is behind? Or as my case, The Room, we can say the same thing. What is behind? Is it that bad because it's good, or is it good, is it bad? Well, as you know, Matthew, bad is expression, also it's a good. Mm-hmm. In slang in America, as you know.
Yes.
If you have two guys walking and they are close friends, they will not say, oh, this is great movie. They say, oh, this is so bad, you have to see it. And again, people, I don't understand, but, you know, some of the stuff, you know, I'm just laughing because it's laughable, to be honest with you. But the bottom line is people enjoy this film, and that's the bottom line. And we have a really great discussion like we have right now. So we have 10 more minutes. Move on, next question.
Okay. I'll say, besides the documentary about the economy, is there any scripts or feature films that you have planned?
Yes, absolutely. I'm working on vampire movie as well as Alex Blood, Vampire the Alex, as well. There'll be continuous what we did with Comedy Central, but slightly different angle. As well as I'm working currently, I'm shooting The Neighbors. We are casting currently, actually today, believe it or not. So I'm working very hard to entertain people. Hopefully people have a groovy time.
I'm saying, how far is, what do you think will happen next? Which one do you think will come, or is it, you know, whatever comes to you first?
Well, The Neighbors actually be available within probably 2 months. We're doing 5 episodes. And The Economy wanted to release before June. At Vampire, I'm working. But at the same time, I don't know if you're aware, but we'll be releasing Blu-ray of The Room. And that'll be before Christmas, as well as I'm working also on the 3D movie as well, 3D of The Room.
Really?
Yes, absolutely. And I'm doing the testing almost as we speak, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we did some of it because we are, I don't know if you want to hear more about it, but just one sentence about it. We are scanning from 35mm print.
Right.
I'm referring to 3D of The Room.
Mm-hmm.
The Room with in 3D.
So the love, we're going to get even closer to the love scenes.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes, I'm listening.
So we're going to get even closer to you guys during the love scenes.
I think so.
as a director, what do you what's some of the things that you do to help out actors? I know you had a fairly young cast on The Room, but how do you approach actors from a directing standpoint? And how do you direct yourself?
Well, directing is very tough, you see. So again, I have a system of, if you refer to the Room, I had a system, and now I have a system as well, that, you know, I'm doing a ratio 1-4, and basically I believe in a rehearsal process. In The Room, we have like, 6 months rehearsal before we shot The Room, but I don't know what the story is, but I did change the actors several times, as well the crew was changed 4 times. So a lot of actors, there's only 1-2 person who actually been with me for a long time, what you see on the big screen. But to respond to your question, I'm a very detail-oriented person, if I may say that. Yes, of course I can say that.
You just did.
but at the same time, not self-centered, let me say that too. My system is pretty straightforward, which I can share with you if you want to hear.
Please.
Well, you record yourself, then you watch yourself, and then you try to adjust base what you see. And I believe in adjustment, you see, at the same time. But you have to, one of the gray areas, you have to eliminate your subjective approach. So Hugo Bass is, I am as a director, I say, what is the character saying, what he or she is doing, what's the situation? So it's a lot of obstacles come to your brain, and you have to divide it. You cannot combine together because then you get lost. That's my point.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you see yourself, then you record again and say, okay, I like this scene. No, I have to improve that. Okay, and when you are good actors, by the way, I never say on the records that actors are good or bad. What I'm saying, sometimes they don't give us certain, they're not sharing this, they're not giving enough. What I mean by that, they're missing the colors, because any actors could be very, the best of the best. And that's why the reference to actors. Some people sometimes ask me and say, can you cast this particular person because he or she make $20 million? I say, absolutely not. Because I already know that they cannot offer what I think I'm looking for. So for all of you, for all your listeners, it's not you have to be popular acting is sharing. That's basically my definition of good acting. If I can say good acting, but I try not to divide it good and bad as an actor, because I'm not a critic. I'm just going by provocation. My job as a director to provoke people positive ways if I can. So if I do that, I do a good job as far as in my hands, in my eyes. Now, about the system, so that's basically when I shot The Room, I recorded this VHS tape, and by the way, I'm still writing the book about it, the difference between the HD and 35, because we use both cameras. I know it's laughable a little bit, but you know what? The way I see it this way, the simplicity is virtue of success. What I mean by that is very interesting. Even today, after all these years, I still cannot find there's something where people say, okay, this is the HD, this is 35, this is the difference. That's the money what you spend on 35, that's what you spend on HD. I still don't have that. And this is the thing what I said on DVD very openly, that Hollywood was confused. And I was confused myself. And people literally say, oh, he didn't know what he was doing. Again, guys, some of you guys listening to this, you're incorrect. Please ask the question. I'll be glad to explain you what I meant by that, okay? But today, what we do, like we'll be doing, for example, The Neighbors, because I'm playing one of a Charlie character, I'll be recording myself and just watch it and just analyze, okay, that's what I want. That's not what I don't want. But I have also assistant as well. So I work with two or three assistants. In The Room, I have like four different assistants. So I say, you guys watch this, you give me feedback, you know what I'm saying? So it's very hard work if you refer to directing, acting as well. It's not easy job, but it's very, I love it, you know, I like it.
I say, tell a little bit, for those who don't know what The Neighbors is, why don't you refresh them?
Yeah, let me clarify. The Neighbors, it's a sitcom, it's TV pilot. It's, again, you see, I like variety. So we go from Homeless to The Room, from Vampire to The Neighbors. Matthew, you are good.
Thank you.
I know how be the sound, how they will listen to your audiences. The Neighbors is dealing with, again, relationship. It's a character, Charlie. You can go to The Room. It's theneighborssitcom.com, and you see the synopsis as well, the characters that we are currently working on. Right now, as we speak. Yes.
Well, I say, you mentioned earlier about singing. Any plans, maybe doing a musical somewhere down the line?
Actually, you know what? We actually working on the remix of their words from the lyrics from the script, and you probably hear something probably because we're working currently. Last year, we did some stuff that we never published. So soon you can hear something.
I say, like you said, from stage to movies to documentaries to television, you're never bored.
No, I like variety. If you ask me. So we have two more questions. I'm sorry, I have to go.
Oh no, that's okay. I would say, has there been any movies out recently that you've been able to watch and enjoy recently?
Yes, but I will not tell you because then people are blogging about it. But I will tell you one thing. I give you one clue.
All right.
See, I make a laugh on you.
Okay.
That's great. I tell you one is dealing with started in S. Like a social, I am not telling you the name.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, all right. Boy, you keep us hanging.
It was very easy to find out. Come on, you know about it.
Yes, yes. I say, how was it working with Tim and Eric?
That was pretty good. Yeah, they're very nice people to work and very given. But sometimes we're not on the same page. But I've been working with them for four times. Let's see, 4 times. Yes. And they're a very giving person and people, you know. They're very creative. That's what the entertainment is about, creation.
Tommy, thank you so, so much for your time. I can't wait to see you in Bloomington on Tuesday. I'll get in touch with John, and hopefully we can meet up before or afterwards.
Yeah, no problem. And also, if you need any images, whatever, let us know. And thank you.
Thank you, Tommy. Take care.
No problem. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Hey, everyone, this is Tommy Wiseau, and you're listening now to Film Sociology at the WFYI Indianapolis.
Thank you, Tommy. Tommy is always entertaining.
Yes.
So if you want to see more Tommy this weekend, definitely head over to Keystone Friday, Saturday night at midnight to see The Room.
I will be there tomorrow.
Kobe will be there. That's a reason to go.
Yep.
So first we're going to talk about for our movies today, Super 8. Super 8, written and directed by J.J. Abrams, produced by Steven Spielberg, about a group of kids making a movie, zombie movie, and something happens when a train crashes.
I've got nothing against your friends. I like your friends. Now, things have obviously changed for us.
I have to help Charles finish his movie.
Be good for you to spend some time with kids who don't run around with cameras and monster makeup.
Could you close your eyes, please?
Yeah. Guns, watch out!
An eastbound freighter derailed. What the cargo was on that freighter, we don't know.
We can't tell anyone. I know.
I understand you have concerns about our cargo.
Colonel, there isn't anything else that I should know, is there?
I can assure you the answer is no.
We've got calls from people who found local dogs, but the calls coming in aren't local.
Lucy!
It's like they all just ran away.
I've got property damage. I've got theft. I've got 9 people missing now. There are things happening around here that I can't explain.
I don't feel good about this.
Go!
I saw it. No one believes me.
I believe you. What the hell?
All right, now, I know the audio doesn't quite do it justice, but definitely the best train crash I've seen in a movie ever.
Ever.
Ever. So epic.
We're including the one from The Fugitive, which was awesome.
It was awesome.
And this blows that away.
So, okay, a reason to go see this movie? There's an awesome train crash. But you are lucky because there's an awesome movie built around the train crash. So you're getting a lot more bang for your buck.
Yeah, it's people probably have figured out now it's sort of a throwback to old Steven Spielberg movies, you know, Close Encounters of the Third Kind, E.T. the Extraterrestrial, The Goonies, that sort of feel. It's set in 1979, and it's about these kids shooting a movie. And we don't, I think both of us, we don't want to give away the big surprise. It's kind of out there in pop culture. Most people know it.
Don't go online, guys. Don't go online and look it up, because there's a bunch of people telling you what it is. But I really think part of the fun of seeing this movie is not knowing exactly what's in the train. Your brain's going to jump to a lot of obvious conclusions right away. But what I think the movie does really well is it gives you all these like weird things happening that doesn't quite all add up. So it keeps you wondering for a really long time till the final reveal.
Yeah, and it's about, you know, it's about these kids, but it kind of really then focuses down to, there's six kids, kind of focuses down to two or three kids. It's about the main character, Joe Lamb, and then he meets the girl, Alice, I believe is her name.
Played by Elle Fanning.
Played by Elle Fanning, wonderfully. And she's, and they have a reason, which we won't tell you about, to be at odds, but then they sort of find a connection. And then the director named Charles, who's sort of bossy, but still a good kid. So it's really interesting. It's more about the relationships of these kids and then the big mystery that they're facing.
And it's really awesome seeing how they connect together because, you know, yeah, there's this whole crazy thing going on. The military's in the town. You don't know what's going on. But the story with the kids is still so engaging, even though there's this greater plot going on. And it's great seeing the kids go through it together and grow. And it's just awesome.
One thing I really liked about it was I was one of, yes, I know, the heretics that I did not like J.J. Abrams' version of Star Trek.
No!
And my
get out of here.
And my big problem, my biggest problem was that I just thought the movie was in such a hurry and just, you know, I said it was made for like the ADD crowd. It was just, you know, action, something crazy happening every minute. And
some
I really liked,
don't mind that.
And I really liked this movie that it had these pauses. It had these quiet spots where it was just about, you know, a couple of these kids sitting in a room, connecting with each other, and had a very genuine, tender feel to it. And I love that about this movie that has plenty of action scenes, plenty of that pumped up stuff, but took the time to have the human part of it. And I really like that about it.
Yeah, it had a really, really great emotional connection. So what's also great about this movie, it appeals to all age ranges.
It does.
I think anyone can go see this movie, whole family, little kid up to grandma, everyone would like this.
I can't remember, what is it rated? Is it rated PG or PG-13?
I'm not sure, but you should all be able to go see it. I think there was one F-bomb.
Yeah, if it's PG-13, it's a pretty light PG-13.
And it's from that kid who used to be the kid in Seventh Heaven, which was so weird seeing the role he's playing. I won't tell you what it is, but it's really funny. So that's what I'm saying. Kobe, do you have like a soundbite or
yes,
something cool
I
for
do.
Me?
Yay. Here we are.
Yes, 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 yes.
Awesome. Okay. The next movie we're going to be talking about is Tree of Life.
The Tree of Life.
The Tree of Life
from
Terrence Malick, starring Brad Pitt, about 5 minutes of Sean Penn, and also Jessica Chastain.
There are two ways through life. The way of nature and the way of grace. You have to choose which one you'll follow.
You're an alligator.
You'll be grown before that tree is tall.
It takes fierce will to get ahead in this world. Come on, hit me. Hit me. Come on, son.
He's afraid of you. You expect things of him only an adult can accomplish.
I've just always wanted you to be strong. Be your own man.
Father. Mother. Always you wrestle inside me. Always you will.
Someday we'll fall down and weep. And we'll understand it all. All things.
Guide us to the end of time.
Unless you love, your life will flash by.
Thank you. First off, I'd like to start with my apologies to Matthew Soucy, because darn it, I tried. I tried so hard to pull up some black socks and put on an itchy sweater and be a grown-up for this review, but I just can't do it. This movie broke me down and made me want to throw things at the screen. I was so angry. Okay, Terrence Malick is a complex filmmaker, but this film basically boils down to three elements. One of them is whispering. There's lots of whispering.
As you can hear in the trailer.
Yes.
Dramatic.
It's very dramatic. Unless you want the movie to go somewhere. Seriously, it's a really long movie. Okay, the second element is, in the middle of it, there's a Discovery Channel nature documentary with no narration. And dinosaurs.
What?
Yeah. Does that make sense to you?
No, but I don't know. I don't know what the movie's about to begin with.
Yeah. Well, the third element, it's kind of all put in a blender together, the editing
Chris
style.
Chris is quietly waiting his turn.
Oh, I know, but I'm taking my turn first. the third element is a narrative story. Eventually, somewhere in this movie is about 45 minutes of watchable movie that follows the narrative of a family growing up together, three boys, father, mother, yes, father, mother, whispering, I don't care. and yes, that element was kind of nice. I like how it's told in a way where it's very much like the memories of this kid, fragments. You can get used to that really quick because that's how you remember your childhood. And it has a lot of elements that ring home for a lot of people with their own childhood. I was raised a girl, so it's a little different, but I can still relate. But basically, when I was done with this movie, I was so frustrated by Sean Penn going up and down in the elevator, walking on the beach, mountains, rivers, volcanoes, stars. Oh, look, a little boy punching his dad. I'm just so frustrated that it's time of my life gone. I'm so mad. I will never get that time back.
This is interesting because watching the trailer and recording this, there's nothing in that about dinosaurs.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, right. It's kind of random. That's it what it feels like. I think there's obviously a deeper meaning here, and there's
like,
lots of
like
symbolism, and it's really artsy and important, and there's like a search for a higher power, but I just didn't have the patience. I couldn't do it.
Is this a similar situation trailer to movie-wise, like with Primeval, when it's all scary in the trailer, and then you find out it's about like a crocodile? And then, like, an ATL, you think it's about, like, Boys in the Hood, but it's a roller skating gang.
Kobe, this is nothing like that. You're so far off. You're off the reservation. This is about, you think you're going to go see a movie about a family and maybe some problems in their lives, and you get a little bit of family and a lot of nature documentary and whispering and flames and just stuff that makes you want to throw stuff at the screen. Chris?
Did you actually throw stuff at the screen?
No, but I wanted to.
A scathing review by Gina Wagner. Chris, you have the floor.
I am with you in part because watching this movie, I also experienced sections of extreme boredom. And I also, like you, experienced rage. I mean, I was angry at this movie for a good long section of time.
Weren't you also contemplating walking out on
it? I did. I came very close to walking out on the movie. I did not actually do so, but I did come very, very close. And it is during that section, it starts out with more or less kind of, you know, with whispering, and then we go into the story of the family. We get a little bit of that, and then we go into the 30-minute long about the creation of the universe, literally starting with the Big Bang, going down to the Earth molten hot, to, you know, the oceans boiling, and then, you know, organisms, critters crawling up on the beach, dinosaurs, etc.
And I like dinosaurs.
Yeah.
Let me put that on the record. I like dinosaurs.
I think kids of all age, any generation, love dinosaurs.
Yeah.
They did not make this movie better.
But not when
they should have, but they didn't.
Not when there's no context and no relation to the family and no narration. It just, boom, it comes up on you. It goes for a half hour, and I was just screaming, like, why am I watching this that has nothing to do with the movie?
Will we ever find out why Brad Pitt's in this movie?
They probably spent 60% of the movie's budget on the CGI and music for that section, you know, and it just has nothing to do with it. I've come to dub it the March of the Paramecium. I mean, And I was so angry at the movie for making me sit there and watch it. And then, boom, it goes back into the family. And
then
for
you
the
remember,
long,
oh, suddenly, watching a movie.
And the stuff about the family, when it gets going, I really, really liked it a lot. It's still not a straight narrative. It's like you say, it's more snippets and recollections. But it's so wonderful. It's so evocative. Especially, I agree, it's a very boy-centric movie. If you're a girl, there's nothing about growing up being a girl or being a mother. It's really about being a boy, growing up. And I really related to those parts, particularly the parts where those sections where I had like that gaggle of boys just hanging around behind garages, just looking for trouble to get into. But then it goes back to the whispering and the and there's also, you know, metaphysical stuff like scenes where the mother just starts levitating for no good reason that we can think of.
Sweet.
Or
Sean, he has magic powers, obviously.
Or Sean Penn, who plays one of the sons in modern times, and then he's like in a suit going through the rocky desert of the, you know, in his suit for some reason.
I saw, yeah, there's like, and then there in there like a woman in like some salt flats and stuff, and
yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like a very pure form of cinema in that it feels no compulsion to stick to a narrative or a plot. It's just imagery and feelings and emotions. And overall, I know you're going to throw something at me. I do recommend the movie, but only for only for a certain strata of people. People who would listen to this and still knowing what it's about would still be interested. Obviously, we're talking about people who, like, you know, are intellectual.
Austin Luger
from the film Yap gave it 5 yaps out of 5. So even though I'm with you, Gina, I shared a lot of your anger at the movie. I still felt that the sections that were good enough that, I mean, when the Dawn of Time stuff starts, just go leave, go get some nachos from the concession, hang out, you know, call somebody, hang out, and it's right about 30 minutes, you can come back, and then you'll see what's worth watching.
But how is that worth your time to only see half a movie? Like, wait to rent it if you're going to do that, you small percentage of the world, you. Okay, Kobe, what do we think of this movie?
We think...
No! No, 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 no! No! No, 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 no!
I couldn't hear that because I don't have a headset, but I hope it was appropriately scathing.
Yes.
Okay. Also, very quickly, Judy Moody and the Knot in caps, so Bummer Summer.
Yep.
Chris Lloyd saw this. Chris, what did you think in 1 minute?
It was just okay for me because I am about 30 years too old for who this movie is made for.
Oh, so you're not a middle school girl.
No. It's not even really middle school. It's kind of like age 8 or 9 to 11, maybe 12. I think the way I put it in my review, which you can read on thefilmyup.com.
Go.
Is that it's for that age group when, you know, after, you know, Barney has become lame, but they're not yet into like Lady Gaga. So, you know, still slightly innocent where like boys and girls can have friendships without any like icky relationship stuff coming in just yet. So, you know, like third grade, fourth grade, maybe fifth grade, right in there.
Do kids still watch Barney?
Oh, yeah. Mine does.
Oh, okay. It's just been so long. I wondered.
So it's well-made children's entertainment. It's kind of in the vein of like that Judy Blume book, Tales of a Fourth Grade Nothing. And it's for those kids. And if you're not, if you're an adult or even if you're a younger kid or if you're an older kid, you're probably going to be bored by it. But for that group, I would recommend it.
Okay. Good. All right, moving on. We're just going to skip any video store clip because we're very short on time. But new releases on DVD and Blu-ray this week. True Grit.
Awesome.
Yes.
Awesome. Okay. Just go with it.
On all accounts.
Neither of us saw.
Oh, wait a minute. That's the Adam Sandler and...
It's Adam Sandler movie. So it's like every other Adam Sandler movie.
Yeah. But that's Sandler and Aniston, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah.
Adam Sandler with his improbably hot girlfriend.
Okay. Yeah. And then also The Company Men.
Not too many people went to see this movie. It has some problems with it. It was made by a television guy, and it's got some sort of television dynamics going on. But overall, I really recommend it, particularly if you're like me, someone who lost their job in the Great Recession. A lot of things to relate to in this.
Okay. I'm just going to go with Chris's review on that one because I thought it was pretty darn depressing. But it definitely works for a lot of people, so I'm not going to dig into that one because I think I've dug into enough movies today. Next is Sanctum, which I saw and Chris did not. Don't really recommend seeing it in 3D unless you want to see a body floating towards your face within the first few minutes. So all of you with 3D TVs, don't buy it in that format if it's available. And if you want to see a group of people slowly dwindle down in a claustrophobic environment in a cave, there you go. Also, Another Year, which is memorable here at Film Sociology because that is the review where I got out my itchy sweater. And that's where that soundbite is from.
Yeah.
So it's nostalgic. But that one is actually, I really, really do recommend. I was a serious film critic that day, and I felt like it really explored marriage well, showed it over time, what true love really is, working together over all that time. And then seeing all these people around the relationship who just don't quite have it together, and I just really enjoyed the story. You got anything, Chris?
Yeah, I enjoyed parts of it. Like the crazy neurotic friend who at first comes in and we just think is going to sort of be this tertiary character, and she kind of ends up taking over a large section of the movie. I felt like she should have either had her own movie or been more on the sidelines here.
Okay, so sideline character may have been a little distracting. Other ones that came out this week, probably not going to go into it because we're pretty short on time. But
we got a little bit. We got about four
okay.
minutes left.
There's a movie called In Her Skin from Australia. This one I picked up because it has Guy Pearce, Miranda Otto, and Sam Neill in the cast, and I thought, okay, awesome. And then I proceeded to see a story that was almost as disturbing as Black Swan, but not quite. And it's about the story of there's a young dancer. She disappears. Her parents are frantic looking for her. Her parents are Guy Pearce and Miranda Otto, whom I love as Eowyn from Lord of the Rings, by the way. Yeah, they're freaking out. The police won't help them. And Sam Neill is the father of another young girl who kidnapped the ballerina and killed her. Yep. I went there.
Yep.
And it's very depressing and sad. Also out this week, moving on. Oh, did you have something?
Exorcismus, which I don't even know what it's about, but we have a review of it on the film app.
There you go. I also... That's awesome. This week I also reviewed at hauntedflowerreviews.com. You can find Burn Notice Season 4 and White Collar Season 2, whom on their bonus features both roast each other. Basically what we figure out is one story is exciting and has explosions, and the other one people talk to each other in a room about things like music boxes, and it's not as fun. Other Blu-rays out this week. For you Adam Sandler fans, Happy Gilmore.
Yes.
Yes, indeed. And Billy Madison.
Yes.
Another yes. Also,
I saw The Wedding Singer for the first time this week.
Did you?
Yep.
That's actually one of the better Adam Sandler movies.
It was pretty good.
It's pretty sweet.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah. I recently heard the song from that movie played at a wedding during the wedding cake cutting. It was cute. But, oh.
Wait, which one?
The Grow Old With You.
Oh, no way. That's
yes.
Cool.
It was really good. Also on Blu-ray, Death at a Funeral, the original one. The one that I recommend you watch, nope. Not the other one. Yep.
Yeah.
I do have a hit real quick. The Film Yap guys were going to host the Carmel Movies Outdoors tonight. You know, at the 116th.
The Film Yap guys being
it got canceled.
And...
I should say it got postponed because of concerns about weather. Although I'm looking outside and it looks okay.
Looks fine to me.
But it is being moved to next Friday, the 17th. The West Carmel Park on 116th Street. Go there. Go see How to Train Your Dragon. The Film Yap guys will be there giving away stuff.
Cool.
That's awesome.
Are you going to be there?
I am going to be there. Joe Shearer is going to be there. Possibly other film yappers.
And cool. In my opinion still, the best animated movie last year. And
better
I'm
than Toy
sticking
Story
to
3.
It. I'm Me sticking too. To it. It wins. Dragons rule.
Not seen it.
Well,
but
you
Matt's,
should go see it now Matt's, you have this opportunity.
I'll say it. Matt's pretty hot. You know what? I might. Matt's pretty hot on it.
Well, it's really good, actually. I hear there's going to be a sequel, though, which concerns me,
oh.
as they
oh.
always do.
Oh.
Does he lose another limb in this one?
I have no idea, but that's a spoiler, and we shouldn't tell Kobe that.
Oh, sorry.
We'll get upset.
All right, we got a minute. Folks, words to live by.
Silent breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
Thank you, everybody, for putting up with me instead of Matt Soucy. I'm Gina Wagner from HauntedFlower.com, HauntedFlowerReviews.com, and IndieMojo.com with
Christopher Lloyd from thefilmyapp.com, and I'll be here next week guest hosting for Matt.
Excellent.
Sweet. You're listening to WFYI 90.1 HD2 The Point, Indianapolis. We gone!